This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, I'm Lizzie Hale from the band Hailstorm, and you are tuned in with Side Jams with Brian Reisman.
Greetings, everyone. This is Brian Reisman, host of Side Jams, here with, well, the tragic romantic, but also rather happy Ville Valo, who we've actually done many interviews over the years. And this is the first time on video, I think, for us. This is new territory. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm tragically happy. So, as you said, so I'm not complaining whatsoever. It's a new chapter, however you want to put it, in my life. You know, new challenges ahead, and it'll be an interesting year. So after all this, sort of like, you know, it started to get a bit musty in my coffin, so I had to do something about it.
Well, see, I found these photos I had taken. This is from when you played Bowery Ballroom in 2004.
Yeah.
And then I found this. This is the first time we met.
Sweet.
I think I'm seeing the brother of Captain Jack Sparrow right there.
I think so too. Yeah. Highly influential. Yeah, I think he stole it all from me. So that's how it went.
There you go. You have a copyright infringement.
That's how I could afford my great API console here at my home studio. So.
Yeah. Well, I know we wanted to talk about your passion for reading. I mean, obviously Baudelaire is the one name that always comes up when people have talked about your lyrics, but there are other people as well. And I'm kind of curious. I know that you said you like to relax in the bath and read a lot. So I'm kind of curious what you've been reading lately.
It could also be interpreted that bathing is my passion and just reading just goes with it. But I do understand that it's quite hard to have a conversation about the finer aspects of bathing. It's like, you know, lukewarm water and what you're going to put into there and, you know, into the water and all that. And actually the shape and the size of the bathtub, which, because it does wear your arms out if you read at long periods. So it's a bit of...
Do you have one of those old school bathtubs with like the clawed feet?
Probably. That explains a lot. But I do love to, my parents, they were and are still avid readers. We had a ton of books at home when I was a kid, and I'm sort of guy who loves the escapism of books, and I think that books make my imagination work harder than movies or TV, which I do appreciate too. But they're a bit more lighter on the brain work department. So, and music as well is like world building. You know, with a song, you're building this world around you, and if it's your safe zone, and it has the you kind of figure out the rules of physics in that particular place, and it's like anybody who's read Tolkien when they've been a kid, like Hobbit, or started reading Lord of the Rings. I started reading that when I was a kid, and I couldn't finish it. It was just too long for me at that time, but
I read that as a kid. I finished the Lord of the Rings by like fifth grade, I think.
Wow.
But I'll be honest, I was doing a speed reading competition with a friend to see who could finish it first. So a lot of it probably just escaped my mind after I was done.
As you know, there's different ways of reading, because at times also, you know, what I find is that certain books can be very evocative in sense of imagery that it takes a long time for you to read them because you get lost in thought. They sort of like evoke emotions and meanings and ideas and so they're like thought propellers, and it might be that you're stuck on the same page, you know, for the entirety of a bathing session, and uh, And it wouldn't be the first time. And then there's stuff you read really fast. And it kind of also kills your thought process, which is great. It silences the noise, so to speak, that you're just lost in the world. There's a, as you know, literature is, it's fantastic. There's so many different kinds. And I used to, for many, many years, I used to read only biographies. I thought that that's, I'm supposed to be doing that.
Really?
Because, you know, learn from the best. And that's what I was told. And their stories are very similar, but it's and I'm reading a book about the, I wish I could remember, it's like the history, the whole history of the recorded sound. It's a really, really interesting book. It's about the cultural aspects of when the old wax cylinder recording started, but it ends with these days, like streaming and stuff. So it's not just about history, but it's in like, let's say 400, 500 pages. It's the whole story in sort of detail that makes me feel like Indiana Jones, which is great, because at the end of the day, it is what I do. It's the land where I live. It's my hood, so to speak. So that particular book is very, very interesting. You know, the cultural aspect of it and how the voiceless were able to literally get a voice because you had a recording medium that you could just, and like playing the first concerts that were played on radio, and it's great. But anyway, that's the sort of stuff I've been interested, probably to do with the sort of the post-traumatic stress disorder I have from recording Neon Noir. So I just still have that studio whiz hat, and I'm thinking about acoustics and all that stuff. It's important to me. And while doing that, I'll be reading. I highly recommend if you haven't heard of her, Mariana Enriquez from Argentina. Mm-hmm. She's very interesting. Like just a couple of collection of short stories, and now I think her first novel came out. And there's The Dangers of Smoking in Bed is the first one. The second is The Things We Lost in the Fire, that's a great collection of short stories. There's like this politic ghetto upheaval sort of social commentary happening in the Argentinian ghettos, this sort of street kids and their rough lives coming together with this, at times sexualized from a very feminine perspective sort of voice that is telling the stories combined with H.P. Lovecraft. And I think that that's
wow,
that's amazing.
That's,
yeah, it happened. What? It worked for me. It's sort of like a lot of worlds that I thought that couldn't work together, she makes work in such a beautiful way. And it's a bit harrowing read at times. At times it's very interesting. At times it reminds me a bit of the sort of the weird tales, the very sort of old fantastic horror story things. And at times it's very violent and very sort of even like body horror type of stuff going on. So I think it's great. I think that her perspective and her voice in the stories is very new to me. She's very strong. And so it's like probably like 1,000 pages or 800 pages long, the first novel.
Wow.
And I'm trying to figure out how many pairs of underwear and socks I can leave out of my luggage when I'm hopping on the tour bus, so I can fit that one in. That's gonna be my heavy read on the tour. And I'm sure they won't disappoint. It's literature stuff, as you know. It's one of those things that you really easily lose interest if you can't find anything interesting.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycom order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, you easily get bored. You can read certain things for only such. Maybe it's like music. At times, it's like these days, especially with streaming, it's so hard to find new things. You know, because there's so many. It's like being a kid in a candy store, and then you kind of like forget about the you know, you lose the focus. The same with, and even, you know, classical music is actually the same too. There's so much of it. It's like you have to have somebody tell you what is good and what you should listen to. You need filters.
Well, there's too much of everything now. I mean, you know, you have, I mean, like I read books, I read comic books, I listen to albums, I collect movies. I mean, there's so much stuff and I'm going through things. I have books I bought 10 years ago that I still haven't read. And what's interesting is there's a collector thing that happens, a collector fetish. There's something with readers particularly that they will just collect books and they know they haven't finished the last three books they bought, but they're still going to buy a new one. Do you find yourself doing that? Like you're in a, because you go to a new city and there's a great bookstore. Like LA has a cool bookstore called The Last Bookstore downtown LA. It has an amazing selection of stuff. It's almost like you cannot not, you can't buy, you're going
to
buy something.
I always went to Booksoup. I always liked that walk.
Yeah.
And I like the intimacy and the kind of, it's not super big. You know, there's a, I think it was somewhere in Portland, there's the biggest sort of secondhand bookstore. Yeah, that's amazing that there's 150 miles of books or whatever. It's great for audiobooks, like photography books, for example, the work of Joel Peter Witkin. And some of the stuff is out of print, it's very hard to find, and they had everything. And it was priced in a sort of fantastic way. At least then, it was more than 10 years ago, but it was. That's quite special. We don't have places like that so much in Finland. Everybody does their shopping online, so we don't get shops
really
that much, which is a shame. But I do know. I used to do that when I quit drinking, and we back in 2006 or whatever. And all of a sudden, I started waking up early on tour, and I wasn't hungover all the time, and I didn't stay up that late. You know, then my focus became that I always wanted to find the coolest bookstore in the city. And I walked there and, you know, walked about and usually bought something. But I probably have like 500 books I haven't read at home. I carried a ton of them and a lot of great books and a lot of classics. You know, I haven't always been a reader. So it's a, I think it's, I think everybody's a reader. They just haven't found the stuff they like to read that resonates with them. And books are tough. You know, there's so much of it, and you can't tell, you know, after one page or two pages, because it also, like music, it has to do with the emotional state you're in. Or like films, for example. You know, you need to be in a certain mood that you can take in, you know, I don't know, whatever the film might be, you know. You need to be sensitive to those sorts of ideas that are being talked about or whatever. But I'm a keen reader. I think I love the smell of books. I don't have that Kindle thing.
Me neither.
I think part of the whole ritual is the fact how it smells and that it is a physical thing and how it's been bound and how the glue works and all that. I also used to, in a lot of books, I used to write lyrics. So while being on tour, so I had to
like in books you were reading?
Pardon me.
In books you were reading or just your separate
on the
journal?
First pages and when I got ideas or whatever, there's like a lot of weird markings and stuff, you know, so. So they were my the books I read were my notebooks as well at that time. So not anymore, but Mariana Enriquez, somebody I highly recommend. I think that she has a great thing going. At least it works with my mental state. I haven't done any graphic novel stuff in ages. I got the H.P. Lovecraft themed the Alan Moore ones. Is it Necronomicon?
Oh, Providence.
Is it Necronomicon or whatever it is I have? Oh, no, Providence, isn't it?
Yeah, I read that,
The whole series. It's quite over the top, as a lot of Alan Moore stuff is. But I haven't really... I started reading, actually, From Hell, you know, after all these years. And I think that...
That's a good one.
That has aged so well. And when I started reading it, I felt that I saw it from totally a different perspective, which is quite cool, and it's not usual. You know, there's a Belgian guy. I think his name is Didier Comès. I'm not sure if you know him.
I think I know the name, actually.
The Hugo Pratt stuff, how it was drawn, the sort of like the line drawings of people have a very specific look. Quarto Maltese was the main character of Hugo Pratt's work, I think.
Okay.
Well, anyway, the Didier Comès fellow is very similar, but he has themes of sort of... the esoteric, a bit of magical things going on and a bit of weird sexuality things going on, like incest sort of. It's very interesting. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's not very graphic in they would be very violent or very highly sexual or whatever, but the themes are very quite hard hitting. So but that was like 20 years ago. So I'm really looking for new graphic novels and new writers and new artists that would suck me into that world.
What is it about reading in the bathtub? What is that for you? Is it just the relaxation? Is it a certain vibe you have to have when you're reading?
Well, it's not good for the books. The pages always get weirdly crinkly. You always know which books I had in the bath with me, but it feels really safe. My mom used to bathe a lot. I used to bathe with her when I was like a toddler, and I always loved bathing. I don't know if it reminds me of being in my mom's belly or something. That's what some people say, that you know, being in that sort of like warm water gives you that sort of sense of the womb. I don't know, and I haven't thought of it that far. It just feels that when you're there, you can't do anything else. You're like, you can't really. You know, you can't really pay your bills, or you can talk on the phone, sure, but I don't like it. It's usually too reverby in a, you know, with a tiled bathroom and all that.
Yeah.
So it's basically, it's the safe zone. You know, it's like flying in business class back in the day when the internet didn't work on airplanes. So that, it was like you were on no man's land. Nobody could touch you. And it's a similar feel I have when I'm in a tub. So it's important to me. I can survive without, but not for long periods of time.
Well, lastly, I mean, obviously Baudelaire is like the sort of the one author that all people, they write Flowers of Evil and stuff, but what's something that he wrote that's more obscure that you think is really interesting that people should look to? Because everyone always,
well, you know,
when they go to office, they go to the obvious ones.
Well, to be honest with you, I think with Baudelaire and especially in the days of the computer and there's so many collected works by Baudelaire, by then Horace of like Guy de Maupassant, and like it's tough to say which belongs where, or like Rambo, you know, Season in Hell or whatever, you know. It's I think I always picked little poems from here and there that opened up new vistas for me, new vibes and new zones, as opposed to being sort of like having a Baudelaire week that I would go through everything he's written. I thought that it's similar to William Blake, who has a lot of stuff all over the place. For me, it's very hard to get into. I find it very sort of fantastical at times. But I think it's also about the characters. Well, as it is more literally in Bukowski's work, because he's a part of that. But it's about a way of life. It's about way of seeing the world, and it's about the symbolic value of the authors as well, not just the words they wrote, which is actually the case in a lot of rock and roll things as well. You know, it's like if you hear a song, and there's, you know, it does give it a lot of meaning and subtext if you know who wrote a song or who sings it. You know, I was trying to come up with some weird sort of alternate universe where you could hear a song sung by Ozzy, but you wouldn't realize that it's Ozzy, and would it feel the same if it would be done by somebody else? You know, but So I don't even know how much Baudelaire I have. I do have The Flowers of Evil. I have a few compilations. I think I've been given books along the way, but no, you won't find a Baudelaire buff in me. That doesn't exist. I'm very fragmented when it comes to that stuff. It's
I get it. Yeah.
There's Edith Södergran, Finnish Swedish poet, a lady from, I think she wrote in the 30s or 40s. I love her stuff a lot, but it's also, I don't know much about her life. I don't know all her work, because also poets' work, there's a lot of variety, especially back in the day. And also the fact that we've been, which I feels a bit weird, like, you know, publishing, you know, somebody's letters. It's like, I'm not sure if it's right for us to read that stuff, if they were meant for, you know, a personal consumption. You know, like I bought something of Edward Munch, the guy who painted Scream.
Yeah.
And he has really interesting, like, letters and stuff. And then all of a sudden I felt like this peeping Tom, that I don't belong there, you know. I like reading Cobain's diary, or the, you know, that I think Courtney published, you know, back in the day. I think I was given that book, but I haven't been able to read it. I feel somehow it crosses the line. It's not meant for me. But sorry to disappoint you regarding Baudelaire. So, but no, that it doesn't actually, it doesn't come up like yeah, you should get that page 174.
I sample a lot of stuff. Pardon me. I'm the same way. I sample a lot of stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know, I think with poetry and also like older stuff, like a Poe or whatever, it's not as you would read all of it, or H.P. Lovecraft, whom I've probably read all of it, but many times. But it's more, I think, once again, we get back to the idea of world building and the worlds we can create. They're very strong. I think that Poe, for example, is like you know, he is like absinthe, you know, taken in moderation. And it's like a fantastic, one-of-a-kind thing. But if you do that every day, you know, you're going to end up in the gutter sooner or later.
Well, thanks again, Ville. It's been wonderful chatting with you.
Yeah, indeed it has. Hey, thank you very much. And see you in New York City. Be safe, be sound, you know, be well.
You too. Thanks very much.
Catch you later.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.